What a wonderful message and song. Thank you, Bowmans and Barnes. That was wonderful. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. As we look today at our Father's Day message, I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to find my good thing. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I've been enjoying my good thing for 27 years. I'm so thankful for Krista and the wonderful blessing she is to me, a great ministry partner. And on June 6th, D-Day, 2000, remember Y2K? Cameron was born. It was a hot day in Longmont, Colorado, but a joyful day. And I've never seen a more beautiful animated bologna loaf than the one I held my son that day when he was born. And then in 2002, God gave us another gift and gave us Ivy, and we're so thankful for the blessing of our children. And now, this weekend, we travel to Mississippi and meet my son and his wife and get to celebrate my grandson's first birthday and bring him back, and we get to spend a week together. So I'm so thankful that God's given me the privilege of being a husband and a dad. And I trust, men, that you appreciate the opportunity in the ministry God's called you to, and you're grateful for your families. And I trust that you are grateful for your fathers. I read this statistic from a website called singlemotherguide.com. This was updated March of this year. It tells us today, in the United States, 1 in 6 children under the age of 18, a total of about 12.7 million kids are being raised without a father in this country. Folks, that's a great need. Then you add into the equation dads who are largely absent at home. I didn't say from home. I said at home because of work and hobbies. And the number of fatherless children mushrooms like the aftermath cloud of a nuclear explosion. Sometimes parents relinquish their responsibilities to smartphones and other electronic devices. And sometimes Christian parents offload their God-given responsibilities to the youth pastor, the Christian school, and Christian camp. Supplements become the diet, and families are starving. Dads, God is calling us to lead. So look with me at Proverbs 24:15, a very familiar verse. That Joshua states in front of the entire nation of Israel. As he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. First challenge, dads, to you this morning is plant the flag of spiritual purpose. Determine your commitment and declare your commitment to lead your family in submission and service to God. You say, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. In verse 14, you see the word fear. It means to have a reverential awe or respect. Fathers, we must fear God, the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. The Bible tells us in the Proverbs is the fear of the Lord. If we want our children to walk in God's wisdom and navigate this life spiritually successful, we must exemplify that by walking in the fear of the Lord. It needs to dictate our priorities and our decisions and our direction and our responses. There should be an atmosphere of awe and respect of God, men, in our lives that carries into our marriages and into our family life. And then the word serve in verse 14 means to work for another as a subject or a servant. How do you serve the Lord? With the attitude of a slave. that we serve as a subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we serve him. And then insincerity. And that word sincerity means complete, whole, or entire. It means to be sound, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity. So we need to lead our families in an awe, a respect, a fear of the Lord. One that adores him, one that serves him, one that submitting to him as a subject obeys him. And do it from a sincere heart. Why do so many children that are raised in churches like this and grow up and go out, why do they often abandon their faith? Two things. Number one, we know that every man has a free will. And you may live in integrity and the fear of the Lord and seek your best to invest in your children, and they can still make their own choices. And by the way, as long as there's life, there is hope. Keep praying for them. Keep reaching out to them. Peradventure that God will give them a spirit of repentance and reconciliation to himself. It is never too late. Please be encouraged by that. And please do not bear under a false guilt. But if the Holy Spirit convicts you this morning from what I'm about to say, then own it. And ask God in his grace for forgiveness and repent and go the other way. Because there are some who go through the motions of serving God outwardly. But what our kids see at church or in ministry service and what they see in the privacy of our home life are drastically different. And there's a lot of insincere, man-pleasing service that goes on in many Christian homes. Don't let that be true of yours. Determine before the Lord today as you plant the flag of spiritual purpose that we will do this with an awful, awesome respect, an awe and a fear before the Lord, that we will do this in sincerity, serving him. So as you lead your family, let me make this practical admonition. Find ways to serve God as a family at church. Door greeting families, for example. You want to get in the rotation? That's great. See Frank Crutch and say, hey, our family would like to serve the Lord. We can get here a little early before Sunday school starts. And we can get ready and get here, and we can be greeters at one of the doors, and you can take a rotation and serve the Lord as a family. Hey, when there are work days here at the church, come as a family and serve the Lord on work days. Dads, bring your sons to some of the different ministry opportunities. Ladies, bring your daughters and serve the Lord. Find ways. Hey, listen, see Dania, mom's daughters. We could use some help in the nursery. And say, hey, we'd like to serve the Lord together. Could you put us into the rotation so as mom and daughter, we could serve and we could take a turn in the nursery? You're not committing to missing every service or every Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night service. You're just missing maybe one service a month where you are in the nursery ministering so that other people can enjoy the ministry of the word and take a break from their ministry in the nursery. There are other ways, but dads, fathers, take the lead and determine, hey, let's find some ways we can serve the Lord as a family. Use your home, your house, as a place of ministry. Use their hospitality. Invite folks over from the church just to get to know them and to encourage them and have fellowship together. Or start a Bible study. You say, I don't know how to do a Bible study. Great, another advertisement. We're going to be having the exchange, Living the Exchange seminar. We'll teach you how to conduct an evangelistic Bible study and follow up and help train you towards discipleship. August 27 to 31, we're going to have sign-up opening soon, and you can sign up and be a part of that. And you can say, well, I'm not ready to do that, but I am willing to host that. Let me know. You gather some neighbors, I'll come lead the evangelistic Bible study. And you can learn by watching and then getting involved, and your family can have a part. And host a missionary or a ministry team member. When we have some of these Christian colleges that bring a ministry team and they sing and they music or they minister to our teens and they need a place to stay overnight, you can minister, have them over, have some fellowship, give them a good night's rest, make them a beautiful breakfast and a nice sack lunch, send them on their way, and do that as a family and assign responsibilities to all your family to have a part in that. Lead your family. This is not going to happen by accident. This happens by purpose. You got to plan it. Get involved in ministering in your community. Go on a missions trip together. Now, not every missions trip that we offer would it be viable for you to take say, a younger child with you. But parents, you need to be thinking when your children become junior high and high school age, taking them with you on a missions trip. One of the most fantastic things we did as a family was in 2015, 16, something like that, we went to Bolivia for 2 weeks as a family on a mission trip. Some friends of ours that are missionaries down there in Bolivia, first week we spent doing ministry right there in their village of Icla and the surrounding villages. And then the next week we traveled all over the country of Bolivia, visiting with different missionaries and serving. I got to teach in a seminary. We did all kinds of fun stuff, but we got to serve God together as a family on a missions trip. Do it. Prioritize it. Be better for you to spend a couple thousand bucks doing that than to spend it on a lavish vacation at Disney World that's promoting everything we stand against right now. Little sideline. And as you plant the flag of spiritual purpose, not only declare your commitment to lead your family in submission and service to God, but don't succumb to the pressure of what other families choose or what society deems acceptable. You know, we kind of joke about it, you know, where kids say, well, you make me eat my vegetables. So-and-so, my friend, their parents don't make them eat their vegetables. They get to have corn dogs and pizza all the time, you know. They never have to eat their vegetables. Or, you know, you make me go to bed at 9:30. My friends, they get to stay up till 11:30. You know, you're the meanest parents in the whole world, right? And what are they trying to do? They're trying to get you to succumb and say, well, maybe we're being unreasonable parents. Maybe we should loosen up a little. And things like diet and bedtime, though important, are silly compared to some of the spiritual compromises that Satan wants you to make in your home. And he does it through cultural pressure and cultural trends and public opinion. Don't succumb to the pressure of what other families choose or what society deems acceptable. Successful. Look at this in verse 15 again. I want you to see this. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. He's at least calling them to make a choice. But then look what he says. Whether the gods which your father served, which are on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But he's saying, make a choice. Why would he say make a choice? Well, because many in Israel would officially worship the Lord. They would worship Jehovah God, but they would also seek to appease false gods. While we don't worship idols, many Christians bow before cultural trends, political ideals, secular philosophy, and the pursuit of self-gratification. Such compromise may be disguised as being balanced, but it's unacceptable to our holy God. There are a lot of Christians who want enough of God to have his blessing and enough of the world to be accepted, comfortable. Folks, don't compromise. Why? Because others completely forsook the worship of God and went over to serving false gods. Compromise often leads to total defeat. That's why God took such a hard stance about Israel not intermarrying with the heathen idol-worshipping nations that surrounded them. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to meet you halfway so he can totally defeat you. Not all at once, but incrementally. Every time we willfully, against the dictates of our Holy Spirit-oriented conscience, choose something that we know is wrong, we have compromised our integrity, men. And little by little, we wound our families. Have you ever heard of the death of a thousand cuts? I will not describe it in detail because it's not fitting in this setting to do. The death of a thousand cuts is one little cut won't hurt much, and you'll bleed a little bit, but a thousand will bleed you out slowly. In many Christian homes, Satan attacks the father with a scalpel of compromise, and with a thousand little cuts, bleeds out the spiritual virtue and integrity of that dad, and it trickles down in its effect into the lives of his wife and children so that Satan can destroy the home. Don't let that happen to you. So that was the first admonition. Here's the second one. Provide an atmosphere that promotes Christ-like character. Let's not only stay away from the negative, let's look at the positive things. What do we need to do? We need to provide an atmosphere that promotes Christ-like character. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. Literally means you, yourself. This is in the Greek. You, yourself, by cherishing and training, bring your children to maturity. Nurture literally comes from two Greek words. One word's child. The other really means training or teaching. And the idea of this child training is with disciplinary correction. He that loveth the son chasteneth him betimes. That means immediately in a timely fashion and consistently as often as is necessary. So we train with disciplinary correction and then admonition. The word admonition literally translates calling attention to, but really is talking about teaching, including mild rebuke and warning. Best illustration I have of that is teaching your teenager how to drive. Now, you can save a lot of stress by paying a driving instructor to do that. But if you choose to save a few $100 and do it yourself, I'm not so sure if that's money well earned or not. Because as you're driving, what are you doing? You're often mildly rebuking them. You know, you hit the accelerator a little fast. All right, the light turned green and boom, you knew, you thought you were on a drag strip, you know, and boom, you were down, you know. You better look both ways because maybe somebody's running a red light, you know. And so there's this mild rebuke or this warning. Hey, you know, you got a little close to that mailbox. Maybe, you know, you're a little close to the center line. You know, somebody had to swerve to miss hitting us. So there's these mild rebukes and there's these gentle warnings, but what, at the same time, you're training them, right? Hey, that was a nice stop. My forehead didn't hit the dash when you hit the brakes that time. That was great, you know? And so there's always some encouragement that goes along with that, but there's often a mild rebuke. That's kind of the idea here. We are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21, in providing an atmosphere that promotes Christ-like character, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And so my admonitions to you are, first of all, prioritize your goals and expectations for your family according to God's priorities. It's sad when we celebrate athletic or fine arts achievements above spiritual growth. Not that we don't celebrate and applaud the others, but you know how often, and maybe some of you will resonate with this statement, how often have you heard, I could never do things well enough to please my dad? Now, certainly we should drive our children to excellence, but wouldn't it be better if we led them to excellence and walked alongside them with excellence? Are there times for that nurturing and that admonition and that gentle rebuke and that calling attention to things to help them to learn and to see what they've not yet learned? Yes. But you know what? We need to prioritize what God prioritizes, and we need to applaud what God applauds. And academic achievements and getting scholarships, whether academic scholarships, fine art scholarships, athletic scholarships, don't mean a hill of beans compared to developing Christ-like character. And so make sure that you are prioritizing, as you create an atmosphere that promotes Christ-like character, that you are prioritizing your goals and expectations for your family according to God's priorities. Now, there's nothing wrong with encouraging and facilitating your children in those other areas, but don't emphasize those to the neglect of the spiritual. Emphasize the spiritual. Second of all, provide training by teaching, example, and hands-on instruction. You know, this takes time. You know, if your kid were to come to you and say, Daddy, would you teach me how to fish? Would you just toss the field in the stream and say, here's a good article, read that, kid. Here's some gear. Have fun. Or let me see if I can find this ancient writing called Encyclopedia Britannica. And here is F. Find fishing and you can learn. Here you go. It's thorough, you know. No, what would you do? You'd say, all right, let's get up at 5 o'clock and let's go to the bait store. We're going to buy some bait and we're going to get everything ready and I'm going to teach you how to fish. And you teach them by showing them. And first you help them, whether you're teaching them how to tie knots and tie a lure on, or how to put that night crawler on the hook, you know, or whatever it is. And you're teaching them and you're showing them. You're doing it for them. Then you're doing it with them. Then you are applauding them as they are doing it. And then you just give them a little correction. You give them some tips and you help them to excel in fishing or hunting or whatever it is. But you teach by hands-on time together. Providing teaching, example, and hands-on instruction demands time. And it is time well spent. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, we are commanded, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Hey, share life and use circumstances as opportunities. So when there is an issue, when you're experiencing something in life, when your child has a disappointment, when your child has some success or achievement, when your child has some issue in some relationship with a friend, and maybe things aren't going so well, that it's not that you sit them down and you teach them a Bible lesson or that you're preaching them a message, but you say, you know, the Bible says this, and in God's word there's this verse, and here's a principle, and this is, see how the Bible is so practical and how it can help you in your life. This is the wisdom from God's word, how to handle this situation. Or it may be something, you know, let's go back to fishing just for a minute, you know, just like, you know, when you're fishing, you know, there's a lure and there's a bait. You know what? Satan does the same thing. He puts a hook of a lie, and then he puts something really attractive to cover it. And you don't see the hook. He doesn't want you to see the hook. He wants you to see all the glitzy advertisement. He wants to appeal to your flesh and make you hungry for it. And then he wants you to bite, and then he catches you. And oh, the pain, and even the great danger. And even if it's catch and release, and you're that kind of a fisherman, and you release that fish still hurts. And you still got to hurry up and get that fish back in the water in time, or that fish will die. And you can share, just relate something spiritual just through something as simple as that. Take those everyday circumstances, and that's how you speak to them. It doesn't mean that you're constantly having family devotions every time you're with your kids. What it does mean is you share life together and you share the scriptures with them. But you know what that demands, dads? It demands you and I, as dads, be men of the word, and we meditate on the word so that those things readily come to our minds so that we can teach them to our children. And then we need to provide every possible resource and opportunity for our family to know God. You cannot force your children to be godly and to enter into a faith relationship with Jesus Christ or to walk with him all their lives. You cannot force them to do that. God created them with a free will. But it is your responsibility and my responsibility as dads, our responsibility as parents, is to provide every possible opportunity for our children to know and to love God through his word and through personal experience with God himself. Provide every possible resource and opportunity for your family to know God. And then persist with discipline. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, anger, lest they be discouraged." Do you realize the word anger there is in italics? It means it's supplied by the translators to give the gist or the meaning. But if you read it without that, Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children, lest they be discouraged." And so, one of the things that can provoke our children to be discouraged is when there are not clear rules and consequences in our homes. And this just isn't for elementary age children. This is for teenagers. This is for your college students. This is even for your grown children. There got to be ground rules in your relationship. Certainly, they're on their own. They have their own families. They're independent in that sense. But in your relationship, dads still take the leadership, accept the authority God has given you. And though you cannot dictate to your children, they're not under obligation now to obey you. They are under obligation to honor you, to show you that respect. And you need to set some ground rules, and you need to be bold enough to speak the truth to your kids, even when they're grown, married, and have their own families. Certainly, they're responsible for God for their own choices, but you need to be persistent with that. And while your children are at home, you need to be consistent with clear rules and consequences, consistently enforced, biblically based, loving and always hope-inducing. And then you need to praise godly choices, spiritual growth, and loyalty to God. I mentioned this earlier, but I just want to emphasize this again as a clear and distinct point. What you praise the most, push the hardest, and celebrate the biggest is what you're going to get. So let me ask you, what do you praise the most, Dad? What do you push the hardest? And what do you celebrate the biggest in the lives of your children? Psalm 101, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Dads, we need to take a cue from our Heavenly Father from this passage of Scripture. In my notes that I wrote down, I was meditating on this, is I need to be compassionate and understanding, remembering that I'm a work in progress. Recognize my children's limits, their level of maturity, their humanity, and their current spiritual condition, so that I don't demand the impossible, and so that I can remain teachable about how I define what is possible. Sometimes I think, dads, we expect more from our children than we even expect from ourselves. Stop and think about it practically. And the things that we push and the things that we praise, whether or not it's true that you're trying to live your childhood over again vicariously through your children, that is beside the point. Be compassionate and understanding. Our Father remembers our frame. He knows that we are but dust. It is not excuse. Oh, well, boys will be boys. Excusing their misbehavior. But we ought not expect adult-level mature decisions out of our children. They're not there yet. That's why God gave them to us, so that we can bring them up, train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we need to remember they are kids. They still haven't faced and experienced things we have. We need to remember that and keep that in mind. Where are they in context of their life, so that we can parent them from where they are? It's the same thing in any other kind of discipleship. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to meet people where they are, because that's what he does. Meet them where they are and help them go where God wants them to go, to become what God wants them to become. And that is the essence of what God wants us to do in our parenting, to provide everything we can, to pour our resources into our family, to help them, meet them where they are, and help them or help direct them to where God wants them to go. And then, last of all, and probably most importantly of anything said thus far, petition your Heavenly Father to equip and enable you to become a godly dad. Now, wait a minute, why did I say become? Well, because we, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we're a work in progress until our final day. And being a dad is a lifelong calling. You know, you don't stop being a parent when your kid graduates college and gets their job and begins their own occupational life. Parenting is a lifelong calling. It changes, but it's still part of the ministry God wants us to have. And so we are a work in progress. God's still changing us. So we need to pray and ask God to help us to become what God wants us to be. And it only comes by his grace. It only comes by his supernatural influence as he sanctifies and transforms our lives. Matthew 7:11, Jesus said this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So here, dads, what we need to ask for. We need to ask God for financial and material equipping, time and opportunities, godly courage, humility, grace, and compassion. And that's just the beginning of the list. But I encourage you to take some of those things and put those on your personal prayer list of God doing those things in your life, and then you add to them, because spiritual growth is a dynamic, changing, ongoing process. And then Luke 11 and verse 13, a little bit different nuance that Christ quotes, virtually the same thing, but Luke records Christ as saying it this way in Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now we know, according to Ephesians chapters 1 and 4, as well as other places in Scripture, those are two of the clearest, that when a person receives the forgiveness of sin and eternal life by a calling on Christ by faith, they not only receive the forgiveness of sin, all their sins are cleansed, they are made righteous in Christ, and they are now owners of eternal life. But we also receive the Holy Spirit to indwell us. But we need to ask, we who are saved, we need to ask God to control us, to completely control us. We call that the filling of the Spirit. We need to be indwelt with the Spirit, filled with Him. Friend, it is impossible for you, whether you are a dad or not, man, lady, boys, girls, teenagers, it's impossible for you to be what God intended you to be until you are created as a new creation. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the cross, would draw all men unto me. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire for you is to receive His gift of eternal life, to be cleansed from your sin, to be given that gift of everlasting life, to become His child, to be made a new creation, to receive His Holy Spirit, and then you can be what God truly intends for you to be. And dads, if we're going to be what God has intended for us to be, we need to first of all be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that only comes by receiving the gift of everlasting life. And when we do, we also receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We dads who have done that, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to ask God to fill us, to guide us. We need to ask for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with godly conviction. And by the way, conviction is not an emotion or a feeling. Conviction really is where God lays out the evidence and we are convicted, just like a judge when he declares someone guilty. That person has been convicted of that crime. They've been declared guilty of that crime based on the evidence. We ask need to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me evidence in my life where you need to change me. Show me when I'm wrong. Show me when I'm negligent and not doing the things I ought to be doing. Show me that, Lord. Let it dawn on me. Give me that understanding. And then give me the wisdom and give me the power of your grace to do that which I cannot do in myself. I need your supernatural strength that comes through your grace. I need your supernatural wisdom. I don't have it in myself. Lord, I need your compassion. I need your love to love my kids when they're unlovely. And Lord, I need your courage to stand against what is false. Even when I sometimes have to disappoint my children because I do not yield to their request, knowing that what they want is too dangerous for them. And Lord, I need your comfort. I need your comfort, Lord, the comfort of your Holy Spirit. That though I'm imperfect and I've made my mistakes, Lord, you are greater than my mistakes. And I'm not going to be careless and I'm not going to be negligent, for I will give an account to you for how I've been a dad. But what comfort to know, Father, that you love my children even more than I do, and that you can reach them, and that you can change them, and that you can protect them, and you can meet their needs. And Lord, whatever part of that you want me to play now, Lord, fully equip me to do that by your Spirit and by those good things that you promised your Father will give me, Jesus, if I ask him. And let us be led of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and transformed by the Spirit through the Word of God so that we can be the dads God's called us to be. Boys and girls, teenagers, college students, thank God you have a dad. Pray for your dad. Instead of griping about the things you don't like about your dad, why don't you pray for your dad? And the things that your dad does that encourage your heart or that are a blessing to you, why don't you make sure you praise your dad and let him know that and be express gratitude toward that? And why don't you see what God would have you do to uphold your dad in the ministry that God has given to him in your life? And let's all of us today who are saved praise him that we are his children and that we can truly call him our heavenly Father. Shall we bow our heads this morning? Father, my heart was broken As I did research and confirmed it, several resources, that as of recent as March of this year, it is estimated over 12.7 million children are being raised in a home without a father. And I pray for grandparents and moms and others who are raising these children that you would meet their needs, that you would work in their lives so that they can do the very best they can to influence those children. Oh Lord, there is such a need. But help us, as we read in our scripture reading this morning together, to raise up a godly heritage so that our children go forth as arrows and they are sent purposefully out into this world to hit the mark, to accomplish the mission that you have given them, to wage spiritual warfare against the kingdom of darkness, to reach many with the love and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they themselves would stand strong on the truth and raise up a godly heritage that would reach many others also. We stop today also, Father, and give you thanks for our gift of salvation. And should there be any here today that cannot truly say that you are their heavenly Father because they have not been reconciled to you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, may this be the day when they trust Jesus Christ, the gift, Father, that you gave so that we could have everlasting life. May we honor our dads today and express our appreciation to them for their ministry in our lives. And Father, for those who've gone home to glory, give comfort to those who are missing their dads. Maybe this is their first Father's Day without their dad. And Lord, would you, through your Holy Spirit, give great comfort to those who've lost their dads recently. And Lord, we pray that those who have had terrible things that have happened through their families and difficulties that their dads weren't there for them or weren't saved and it was just very difficult. Thank you, Lord, that you've said you'll be a father to the fatherless. And so, Lord, I pray that you would comfort hearts and heal wounds and meet needs and help us dads who are saved today to declare and plant the flag of spiritual purpose within our homes. May we provide an atmosphere that is conducive to spiritual growth and maturity. And may we seek your face and depend upon you constantly through prayer, asking you to fully equip us with all things temporal and eternal, and especially the power, guidance, conviction, comfort, and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that we may fulfill this wonderful opportunity and mission that you've given us in being dads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to have a come forward invitation this morning, but in a moment we'll stand. And the music will play. And I encourage you right now to respond however the Holy Spirit has touched your heart. And to make whatever choice in response yield to God. Now, if you're confused or you have questions, then great. I invite you after the service to come back to the connection point. I'll be back there. I'd love to sit down with you and show you the way of salvation, if that is your need. If you're not sure God's your Father, if you're not sure your sins have been forgiven, that you have eternal life, I can show you that from the Bible in a few minutes, and you can put your trust in Christ. If that is your need, please come back after the service to the connection point and see me. I'd be glad to help you. Dads, if you need further encouragement, you say, I need some accountability, I'll hook you up with some other dads who are walking the same path you are. You can pray for each other. You can hold each other accountable. You can encourage each other. We can hold each other up and strengthen each other's hands in that ministry. If you have a need like that today, please come and let me know. And let me encourage all of you to determine today, if your father is still alive on this earth, that you would do your best to express your gratitude to them for their influence in your lives. As our pianist begins to play, would you stand and would you pray?